Just a little diversion. It was a nice diversion. Yeah. All right. Though it has been looking a lot like Christmas since Halloween, December is finally here and the Christmas season is officially on its way. It's time to be jolly, right? I mean, especially since we all know, or most of us know, that it really doesn't matter if we were naughty or nice all year long, because we stopped believing in Santa Claus years ago. I mean, when was the last time you considered not pouting or not shouting because you were worried you'd end up on the wrong side of his naughty or nice list? Isn't it interesting that for most of us, the year that we stop believing in Santa Claus roughly coincides with the year we started getting socks and clothes for Christmas? Just think about it. And though we will, along with the more traditional Christmas hymns, we'll be singing about Santa and reindeers and snow and snowmen this year or this month. What we're going to be talking about all month is the light of Christ. We're going to be exploring together and celebrating together the Christ light that is within all of us. That shimmering light of universal love in which we live that shines in us, even now, because it shines forever. Even while we are having this worldly experience, even when we appear to be in these opaque bodies that hardly shine at all. Even when we're having this human experience where it seems we've lost sight of that light in ourselves and in each other. There is so much more to see in you and in me than what appears to be on the surface of things. We are far more than a body that can be seen with the physical eyes. Separate from our spirit and separate from each other, we are powerful, multidimensional, mental, emotional, and spiritual beings. Created to create together and powerful enough to create whatever we choose. But we must look for the more to see in ourselves and each other before we can experience it. Now, today and for the rest of the month, we'll also be talking about the life of Jesus on earth. Not only because December celebrates his birth on earth, but because even though there have been others who have achieved Christ consciousness while in human form, Christ Jesus and his life on earth is the most familiar to us. In A Course in Miracles, we read in his complete identification with the Christ, the perfect Son of God, Jesus became what all of you must be. The light of Christ in us right now is the same radiant light of Christ that shined so brightly through Jesus as he walked the earth and caused miracles to occur wherever he was. And so we may wonder why it is then, if that same Christ light, that same radiant light is in us now that was in Christ Jesus way back when, miracles, if they happen at all for us, don't happen more often for us wherever we are. It could be that we don't see what Jesus saw. Though we are no less spiritual in our earthly incarnation, though we are no less powerful in potential than Jesus was, the difference is that Jesus never doubted that he was the Son of God. And so the light of Christ illumined everything he saw. It was with great humility that he surrendered his human mind with its perceptions of separation and opposition and superiority to the mind of God. And in surrendering, he was able to see the world of God's creation. So how can we see the world Jesus saw? Well, first we have to stop fighting for and fighting against this one. We need to stop trying to get rid of the stuff we don't want, trying to get the things we do want from outside of ourselves. In the Bible, in the book of Philippians, it tells us, let that mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. But letting that mind be in us takes great dedication, devotion, and a deep desire to see life differently. Through quiet contemplation and silent meditation and constant spiritual practice, and his desire, his deep desire to see life as it is created to be, the mind of Jesus was transformed. And he was able to see a world free of guilt and blame and sin and shame and disease and pain. And it was his ability to see that. It was that point of view that allowed him to perform miracles. He didn't judge spiritual reality by worldly appearances, his own or anyone else's. He was able to access the power of Christ on earth because he claimed no other identity for himself. And he saw no difference in himself or anyone else. If he had thought of himself, as many do today, as the divine exception, he could not have seen the Christ in others. And through his enlightened vision, been able to bring about healings. His acceptance of his sonship with God and his oneness with God's creation was so clear in his mind that the shadowy forms and figures and expressions of disease and insanity that appeared as reality in his day disappeared in his presence. And the world has not gotten any healthier or less crazy in the last 2,000 years. Do we want to see what Jesus saw? Or are we satisfied truly just to be in this three-dimensional world and see the obvious and hang around with people who see what we see? Gandhi said, as soon as you remove the cobwebs of ignorance from your mind, truth shines clear. Jesus was willing to remove the cobwebs from his own mind, those cobwebs of ignorance that made everything look separate from himself. And the light of Christ shined so clear he was able to see the glory of who he was, the Son of God. And so we might want to ask ourselves if we're willing to do the same. Because those cobwebs, they don't remove themselves. It's up to each one of us to be willing to remove them. All that's required of us to experience the reality of our sonship with God and our oneness with all creation is just a tiny bit of willingness. Faith, as tiny as a grain of mustard seed. That spiritual reality is all that is real, no matter where, no matter what, no matter what appears to be. We won't be any more spiritual tomorrow than we are today. We won't be any more spiritual when we die than we are today. Are we willing to accept our brotherhood with Jesus now instead of thinking of him as being an exception with no family resemblance to us at all? If we're willing to see ourselves in the light of Christ, just willing to see ourselves in the light of Christ, our little bit of willingness will allow the power of Christ to appear to us from within us and shine so clearly in our mind that our very life will become a miracle on earth. So we might want to ask ourselves this morning, am I willing to try on that holy halo of Christ, just to try it on for size in my mind? Or do I already know that it doesn't fit? Am I willing to believe, despite appearances, my own or anyone else's, that I am Christ incarnate, born to give Christ's second birth on earth? Or does the very idea of such a thing seem disrespectful, outrageous, even sacrilegious? If so, then the power of Christ is lost to us. And the miracles available to us will be limited to a superficial view of ourselves and the world we live in, and will be limited to these five senses that belong to this world that seem to offer far more pain than pleasure and far more sorrow than joy. The Irish poet Robert Wilson Lind wrote, "There are two sorts of curiosity, the momentary and the permanent. The momentary is concerned with the odd appearance of the surface of things. The permanent is attracted by the amazing and consecutive life that flows on beneath the surface of things. So we might want to ask ourselves, what am I attracted to? Being satisfied with superficial experiences in this insane world and reacting to the odd things that appear on the surface as if we have no other choice is like being satisfied looking at the wrapping on a gift, just staring at the paper without ever opening it up to see what's inside. Now, I know probably most of us here have a few eccentric relatives in our ancestral closet. And you've met a few of mine. And one of those is my Aunt Domitil. Now, if you've heard this particular story about her before, it goes so well with my talk this morning. It bears retelling. So if you would, if you've heard it before, if you could think of it as a song you've heard and you enjoyed it so much, you want to hear it again. Domitil, which in French is Domiti, was the oldest of four siblings. And she, along with two brothers, an older one and my father, the youngest, and a younger sister, spent their childhood in an orphanage in New Orleans, Louisiana. And even though they were born to a wealthy family, when their mother died, my dad was four, their father put them in an orphanage with all their toys and ran off to California with an exotic Spanish dancer named Rita. Now, growing up in an orphanage affected each child differently. The oldest boy died in the orphanage when he was 8. My dad, when he was 16, scaled the wall and ran away. The younger sister, when she was old enough to officially leave, eventually got married but chose never to have children. And Domitil, when she was old enough to leave the orphanage, she studied nursing and was an RN for over 50 years. She never married, but she had a great, long-lasting relationship with a fictitious boyfriend named Charles. And it was after my dad married my mom and they moved to California and my sister and I were halfway through our childhood that we went back to New Orleans to visit Domitil in her tiny apartment in the heart of New Orleans. And it was during a game of hide and seek with my sister that I climbed into a little space. It was an attic space in her apartment. And I looked around and it was filled with unwrapped, unopened gifts. Just tons of them. And I never told a soul what I saw because I didn't want my aunt to get in trouble. I knew my mama would get mad. And I wondered for a long, long time why it was that she would choose to leave all of her gifts unwrapped, unseen, unused, hidden away. But then I began to wonder why any of us would leave the gift of this life that we've been given, this life of power and freedom, why we would leave it hidden inside of us, unwrapped, unused. Could it be that we feel like orphans while we're here rather than sons of God? The Christ that dwells in us right now is forever unchanged, and it dwells beneath the wrappings and trappings of this world. Who we are even now, right this minute, flows on beneath the surface of things in the shimmering light of love that embraces us forever. But it's up to each of us to let our love light shine in the world. In the Bible, in the book of Romans, it says, "For the creation eagerly awaits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed." All that's required of us is just a tiny, tiny bit of willingness to let it out. Just a tiny bit of willingness to believe that in all of this that we could still be sons of God. And we do that by removing the cobwebs of ignorance from our mind that says that there could be a life separate from God in the unlimited universe of love in which we live. And when we remove those cobwebs, when we're willing to accept our sonship with God, we will be able to see this world differently. We'll see it as it is, because we'll see it in the light of Christ. Namaste. All right.